I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are beautiful and amazing words in many ways. In Jesus Christ, we have direction and purpose. He's the way. We can know the truth about God and about our lives. We can have life rather than the death that sin brings. In Jesus Christ, we can come into the presence of God, our Father, as adopted children. He is our Father in Jesus Christ. We can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And yet it's statements like this that led to the rejection and crucifixion of Jesus. It's statements like this that cause opposition and even persecution for many Christians today. Each of us personally, as we are confronted with Jesus and his claims, we have to wrestle with how we're going to respond. Are we going to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, or will we reject him? We're in the Gospel of John, and if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 18, beginning in verse 28. The video we just saw was over the section that we will be looking at today. We've been in the farewell discourse the last few weeks. This is John 13 through 17. These are the last words of Jesus to his disciples before his arrest and his crucifixion. Next week, of course, we're anticipating Easter, and so we'll be looking forward to the resurrection, and we'll celebrate the resurrection next week, and we'll focus again on the Gospel of John. And then after that, we're going to look at some of the responses of the disciples to Jesus and to the resurrection. So that's what's coming up in the next few weeks. And I really love the Gospel of John. Now, I know you're not supposed to have a favorite biblical author. You know, I don't have a favorite kid. But they're all different, and I love them all. And John is just is one of those guys I really enjoy reading. Because John, there's depths of meaning. There's levels of meaning in the things that John has to say. And oftentimes he'll use wordplay. Oftentimes he'll use irony in his writings. And that's definitely the case today as Jesus is on trial. And so I just want to confess up front, this will make me feel better personally. I've read this text and it is amazing. I mean, there's irony and there's wordplays and there's things going on here. And I'm afraid what we should do is just read it again, and I should sit down, I think. But we're going to try to say a few things about this text today, and I hope this helps us to see what's going on here. In John chapter 18, Jesus is on trial. But one of the great ironies is, really, Jesus isn't the one on trial. As Jesus stands before Pilate and the Jewish leaders, he's not anxious. He's not caught off guard. He's not terribly concerned. He knows what's coming. The ones who are really on trial are Pilate, the Jewish leaders. The world is on trial. And as the trial goes on, it becomes clear that in this world there's darkness and there's sin and there's a rejection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is on trial. We know he'll be condemned. We know he'll be crucified. But really, it's the world that's on trial, and it's the world that's condemned. And so there's Pilate. He represents the rulers of this world, and as he begins to question Jesus, in verse 37 of chapter 18, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, but in fact the reason I came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. And so there Pilate is. He represents the Roman Empire and all the pomp and the pageantry of the Roman Empire. He's an educated man. He's a person in great authority. He's surrounded by the Roman soldiers. He's questioning the lowly King of Israel, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus confesses that he is the truth, that he speaks the truth, Pilate, like so many people today, scoff at Jesus. They're not interested in claims to truth, and especially Jesus's claim to truth. And so Pilate's just not interested. He is interested, though, in this claim that Jesus makes, that he's king. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because Pilate seems to be the one who's in control. Caesar is the one who's king, not Jesus. And so in an effort to mock Jesus, and not just to mock Jesus, but to also mock the Jews, Jesus is whipped. They bring a crown of thorns, place it on his head. They wrap him with this robe. Jesus is led out to the Jews, and Pilate says, "This is your king." And when he says that, he's mocking Jesus. He's mocking the Jews. He wants him to know who's the one who's in control. And the one in control is Pilate. And it's the Roman Empire. Apparently, at some point, Pilate becomes convinced that Jesus is innocent. It says when he finds out that Jesus claims to be the Son of God, he becomes afraid. And there in chapter 19, in verse 10, as he's speaking to Jesus, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Pilate thinks he's the one in control, but really the only power and authority he has comes from God. And in fact, his power in this interchange here with the Jewish leaders is exposed. It's limited. It says there in verse 12, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Three times Pilate proclaims the innocence of Jesus. He realized he has done nothing wrong, and yet, because of the Jewish leaders, he can't set Jesus free. And so all of his claims to power and this whole court scene, which is supposed to be about justice, is exposed. Pilate, afraid for his own well-being, willingly crucifies an innocent man, Jesus of Nazareth. When we think about the powers in our world today, they can be impressive. And I think about our governments and our businesses, and there's these stately buildings that house them and dignified people who lead them. You don't just have access, easy access to leaders of major corporations, leaders in the government. And it's impressive. And it's supposed to be impressive. And we think about our military. And we think about the uniforms and the ranks and the weapons and the technology. And it is amazing. It is amazing to think about our military and the power of our military. Or the media. I mean, I love to read the newspaper and watch the news and enjoy a good movie. And the media, everybody's so handsome and good-looking, attractive. Everything's so slickly produced, and it's impressive. We're easily impressed. And our academic institutions, we think about the degrees and the research findings, and they can be impressive. I'm impressed. I'm impressed by all the powers of the world and the way they even benefit our lives and the good things they do and the power that they have. And many times we can be tempted to think that these powers are the ones who are really in control. These powers are the ones who really know what's going on. They're in the know. They know what's happening. And yet in this exchange between Jesus and Pilate, we see that Pilate's there because God willed it. We see the limits of Pilate's power. We see that the true king is this lowly, humble, yet bold carpenter from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. He is the true King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. He reigns over the powers of this world. Well, there's a second group of people. This is the Jewish leaders. They represent the people of God, God's people on earth. And yet they're going to reject their rightful king for Caesar. And so there's irony throughout here. At the beginning of our text in verse 28, they're worried about ceremonial uncleanness. So they won't enter into Caesar's Pilate's palace. And so as you watch the video, it goes from inside the palace to outside the palace. Because the Jews don't want to enter into the palace to remain clean for the Passover. And so they keep their human traditions, yet violate the command of God. They have an innocent man executed and crucified. When Pilate asks for specific charges to be brought against Jesus, the Jewish leaders aren't really able to supply specific charges against Jesus. When they have an opportunity to release someone, they want to release Barabbas, a known criminal, not Jesus of Nazareth. When Pilate wants to let Jesus go, they try to blackmail Pilate. They say here in verse 12 of chapter 19, they say, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." And then the high point of the trial, and again where we see the irony, where we see the hypocrisy, comes in verse 14. Pilate brings Jesus out to the Jews. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. For John, it's a tragedy that Jesus is unjustly condemned and crucified, but it's also a tragedy that the people of God, represented here by the Jewish leaders, they give up a relationship with God, they give up their true king and claim allegiance with the powers of this world. They claim allegiance to Caesar. And so again, we think about the powers of our world and how we really are blessed by them. I'm thankful for our government and our businesses, and we benefit from them. We gather here today because of the government. We're in their building, right? We really do benefit from our government. We thank God for our leaders. I enjoy the products of a lot of corporations. My own stocks and retirement does well because of corporations, and so these are good things for us. And we have military, and they protect us from evil. And they do strive to bring justice in our world, and we thank God for that. And I enjoy the media. It's fun to watch a movie, and it's fun to read the news and to find out about what's going on in the world. And I'm a part of our academic institutions in this country. I've been blessed by them. I've been blessed by books and research and learning, and we all have. We go to the doctors, and we're blessed because of the research and the learning that takes place in our world. And yet, the Gospel of John reminds us that all these powers, while they can be a blessing from God, they can participate in what God's doing in the world, all these powers can have a dark side to them as well. And we need to be aware of that. We need to understand the darkness that's in our world. And so in John's day, the Roman Empire is persecuting Christians. Christians are being kicked out of synagogues. These powers can be a blessing. They can also have a dark side to them as well. They crucify our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we too can run into opposition. We can come across the dark side of these institutions. And when we do, we're going to have to decide, who is our king? Is Jesus Christ our king, or is Caesar our king? And so tonight our young people are going to go see a movie. God is not dead, Barry. God is not dead. I haven't seen that movie yet. I want to go see it with Barry, but the basic premise is one that takes place a lot in our world. So a young person goes off to college. He comes across an atheist philosophy professor who wants to use his standing there in the university and his degrees and his position to try to convince and even imitate Christians to give up their faith in God. And so this story is about one Christian who says no. He's not going to proclaim that God is dead. Instead, he's going to argue that God is alive. And so young people, as we're out in the world and we go to educational institutions, we can expect to face challenges like that. As we turn on entertainment, we can expect to face challenges like that from time to time, because as good as the things in this world are, they can have a dark side to them. And there are going to be times where we're going to have to decide if we're going to align ourselves with the powers of this world. And these powers have been exposed by Jesus Christ. They're fleeting. Are we going to align ourselves with the victory of God in Jesus Christ? Jesus will be crucified to take away our sin. But he's going to be raised up from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God, enthroned as King. One day he's coming back. Who do we align ourselves with? The kings and the powers of this world, or our Lord Jesus Christ? So next week we will celebrate Easter. And we're looking forward to that. This week our growth groups are going to be going out and inviting people to come to our Easter service. And so I hope you'll be able to participate in our groups and join us as we go and pass out invitations to our Easter service. As Barry said, we also want to spend some time reflecting on the cross of Christ. And so in your bulletins, there's a growth group lesson. We're not going to be going through this in most of our growth groups, at least, since we'll be passing out flyers this week in our growth groups. But we do want you to spend some time this week and read about the crucifixion of Jesus in John. And hopefully this guide will help you meditate and reflect on the crucifixion. So I encourage you to do that this week, maybe on Friday. On Good Friday, when we remember the day that Jesus died. And then we look forward to coming back and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is King and He reigns. One of the most famous passages in the Gospel of John, perhaps in the entire Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world. He gave his Son. His Son became human and lived among us, and if that wasn't enough, he suffered death to bring us back to the Father, and he did that so we could have life. It's interesting, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says he doesn't come to condemn the world, because it's clear the world's already condemned. He doesn't have to come and condemn the world. What he has to do is come and save it. And so as John was mentioning, we live in a world where people are just walking off the cliff. And there's darkness and there's deception. And Christ has come that we can have life. And yet just a few verses later, in verse 19, this is the verdict. So Jesus is on trial. The world is on trial. And John says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. God loved the world. People loved darkness. In church this week, I encourage us, as we think about Palm Sunday, as we think about the crucifixion of Jesus, as we think about the resurrection of Jesus, we began this morning, we said, Jesus is King. Hosanna. He's Lord. And that's what the people of Israel said as well. And just a week later, they choose the kings of this world rather than their Lord, Jesus Christ. My prayer for us is at the beginning of our service, at the end of our service, through this week, throughout our entire lives, Jesus is King. And we see clearly the good things God has given us in this world, the ways we can participate in them. We're aware of the darkness of this world, and we align ourselves not with Caesar. We align ourselves with Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to be in the back. We'll have one of the shepherds in the back with us. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If there's anything we can do to help you in your walk with Christ, to grow closer to Him, let us know. If you need prayers of the church, we'd love to lift you up in prayer. But let's all stand, sing this song of encouragement together.